Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
And today we want to look at a passage from the Old Testament that I believe is one of the most significant passages in the Old Testament. It was a part of Moses' farewell address to the nation of Israel. From that standpoint, it makes it very significant. And I understand that Jewish people have long considered this as one of the most important passages in all of the Old Testament. And it's from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 down through verse 9. Now, our Lord must have loved this book, Deuteronomy, for he frequently made reference to the book of Deuteronomy. In Matthew chapter 4, when he encountered the devil in the wilderness, after he had fasted for 40 days, every temptation that Jesus faced, he appealed to the writings of the book of Deuteronomy. So from the standpoint that our Lord drew from the book of Deuteronomy, it makes it very important. But this passage that we're going to look at today deals with the survival of the nation, something all of us should be concerned about. In this reference, it's about the nation of Israel, but we should be concerned about the survival of our nation. God is telling them through Moses how they could be prosperous in the land that he was going to give them, how they could live long in that land. And after talking about the survival of the nation, Moses gets down to the fact about the survival of the family. Moses recognized something that we've come to see as well, and that is the survival of the nation depends upon the survival of the family. It talks about a nation, but it quickly goes to the family. And if in the United States of America, the family goes, friends, America is gone. You can mark it down. A nation can be no stronger than her families. Family is the basic unit of society in every generation. And it's obvious to all of us that there's a battle being waged against the family. There's a battle being waged against the home. And we can see it. We can sense it. We can see it in the workplace. We can see it when we watch television, that there's a battle against the home. We can see it when we read books and magazines. And this battle against the family is being waged today, our friends. Plato said long ago, the life of the nation is that of the life of the family, written large. And I believe that philosopher is exactly right. The life of the nation is written in the family. And some of you will recall, have lived long enough to remember some of the incidents that led up to World War II. You see, when Hitler wanted to subjugate a people and a nation, he took the children, he put them in youth camps, not concentration camps, but he put them in youth camps. He wanted to disrupt the family orientation so that he could control the families. And if he could control the children, he could have control of the nation. Now, Marx and Engels, and communists and socialists, founders said, we will replace family education with social education. And so they knew it. Moses knew it. We know it. Everyone knows that as the family goes, so goes the nation. Well, everyone except the enemies of the home and the enemies of the family. But as the family goes, so goes the nation. And if the family goes, the nation is gone. If you control the family, you control everything else for good, or you can control it for evil. But now we want to look at this passage that I've been talking about being such a significant passage. And there are really three great thoughts, and I doubt that I'll have time to develop all of those thoughts with you today. But let's look at the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, down through verse 9. A lengthy reading, but bear with me. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, and the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. And then Moses continues with some of the blessings that God offers the people when they look to him and when they look to God to do his will. Now, before I outline the great principles from this, I want to mention that while we do not live under the Old Testament today, there are many great principles and great teachings and great lessons that are found in the Old Testament that are beneficial and that are endorsed in the New Testament. Did you notice the words in verse 5? Our Lord was asked on one occasion, which is the first and the great commandment? And that was to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our being. The second, love our neighbors, ourselves. Well, that came right from Deuteronomy chapter 6. But this is a great paragraph that relates to the survival of the family. And there are three great principles in this passage. In verse 4, we see a great revelation. In verse 5, there's a great response. And we'll see in verse 6, a great responsibility. Now, let's notice verse 4 again to see this great revelation. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. This is a great revelation that Israel is to hear that our Lord is one. And friend, there is still today only one true God, just one. And he has one Son and one Savior, and there's one way. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so there's only one true God. There's just one way. And the greatest question of all questions is, and if you don't get the answer right, then anything else in your life will not be right. It's like when you get dressed in the morning. If you get one button wrong on your shirt, then all the rest is going to be wrong also. And so with this question, if you don't get the answer right, nothing else in your life will be right. Now, what is that question? The question is, did God make man? Or did man make God? I believe that's the greatest question ever raised. More basic than anything else I know of. Did God make man? Or did man make God? It's something like the continental divide that will determine your life. It will determine your morals, your conduct. It will determine how you live. For you see, some people say that, well, man made God. But I ask, did God make man? Is man in the image of God? Or is God in the imagination of man? If we feel as a communist and an atheist and as humanists do, the idea of God is just some psychological aberration, is some weakness in man. But if we believe that God created man in his own image, we'll end up on the other camp because all of life is based upon the idea that we are in the image of God and we are responsible to God. And so in verse 4, we see a great revelation. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Lord is one. How do we know that? The scriptures declare it. In Genesis 1, verse 1, there's no argument. There's no debate. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It simply presents the facts. The revelation just states it. Now, creation demands that we believe that our God is one. The scriptures declare it to be. And in Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. For you see, everything in creation to the believer demonstrates the majesty, the presence, the glory, the mighty power of God. And did you know that only one half of one verse in all the Bible, in essence, is really devoted to atheism? Psalms 14, verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So for those who disavow the evidence and the testimony of Scripture are acting in a very foolish way, the Bible says. Understand that during the French Revolution, atheism was dominant. They were tearing down everything that had any religious significance to it. Church buildings were destroyed. Steeples were destroyed. An old peasant said, if you're going to tear down everything that reminds us of God, then you'll have to pull the very stars out of heaven. And he was right. For the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. And as is taught in Romans 1, verse 20, from the creation the invisible things of God were clearly seen by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So why do we believe the Lord is one? The scriptures declare it. Creation demands it. And because faith understands it. Psalms 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, the Apostle Peter later quoted this very thing in the New Testament. And so, faith discovers the fact that God is one. Some say, well, if you can't taste God, you can't feel God, you can't touch God, how do you know? We believe because of the testimony. If I'm eating an apple pie and someone says, well, that apple pie does not exist, I can tell that person, well, I feel sorry for you, but I'm enjoying this apple pie. I've tasted it. I know it's real. And in a sense, by faith, we can taste God. By faith, we can see God. Through prayer, we can talk to God. With faith in our hearts, in our lives, in our experience, we have seen, we have tasted, we have known that God is good and that God is real. And a great revelation here in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. One God. And the wise man said, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That we have faith in him, that we believe the words of his son Jesus, that we must repent of our sins, that we must confess Jesus before men, and that we be buried with him in baptism to have our sins washed away.